we magnify your name. Glorify yourself in this place, this morning. Blessed be your name. So shall it be in the mighty name of Jesus. Can I have your seats? Point to somebody to your left and right and tell him you will never remain the same today. Look for somebody else and tell him you will never remain the same today. Can we turn our Bibles this morning to the book of Ephesians 5? We are still talking and discussing on the subject of family or the home front. In the first service, I lay the foundation on this subject, how to lead your home successfully. This message does not just pertain to the husband. It also speaks to the woman of the house. Amen. So let's read a scripture in Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5 from verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of what? Who is the head of the church? And is the savior of what? The body. In the first service, I laid a foundation on this very important subject matter. Scriptures makes us to understand that the husband or the man of the house occupies a leadership role. The word headship talks about authority or speaks also about leadership. There's no doubt about the fact that God has called a man to be the leader of his home. But I want you to know that you need the help, you need the wisdom and the grace of God to lead effectively as the husband. I said so many things in the first service that time will not allow me to go over in this second service. My focus in this second service essentially is going to be on two things. I want to try to define what leadership is, and we'll go ahead to begin to examine how God expects a man to lead his home, because there's a divine pattern. I said there's a divine pattern. Are you in the house this morning? I said there is what? A divine pattern. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 40 says, let everything be done how? Decently and in order. There's a way God expects things to operate in your home. And it's important that when people miss out on this divine pattern or divine order, that's where there is chaos. Now, it's important if you are going to succeed as the man of the house or the head of your home, if you are going to succeed in leading your home, you must know what leadership is all about. There are several things that people have said about leadership that leadership is not. Or that is not leadership, rather. For instance, the fact that you are knowledgeable does not mean that you are a leader. Listen, leadership is not the same thing as management. Amen, somebody. A manager does what? A manager, like somebody said in the layman language, a manager manages and a leader leads. Amen, somebody. I said amen, somebody. I want to try to run through some definitions here, because you must understand what it means to be a leader if you're going to succeed in leading your home. And everybody say amen. What is leadership? Leadership is not a title or position, but leadership is a privilege and power. Leadership is not a title or what? A position. Rather, leadership is a privilege and power. You see, as a man, you have awesome you have awesome power at your disposal. It's a privilege to have been chosen as the head of your home. So don't take it for granted. Amen? I said amen. I'm going to run because of time. Number two, what is leadership? Leadership is not dominating or bossing people around. Leadership is not dominating or bossing people around. Leadership is responsibility. Say responsibility. You see, that's why as a leader, the final buck stops at your table. One thing, a leader can give up everything, but you cannot give up final responsibility. What do I mean? You can't play the blame game. It's not my fault. No, it's not accepted. A leader rises up to what? The occasion. A leader carries the ball. And that's what you're supposed to do in your home. You're not supposed to shy away from your responsibility. You're supposed to carry the ball and lead your home. Can I have an amen in the house? I'm running because I will have wanted to explain further, because I want us to touch on many things again. What is leadership? Leadership is the ability to make things happen. Say, make things happen. The ability to make things happen and also bring about positive change. You see, a leader is a change agent. What did I say? A leader is what? A change what? Agent. A leader is a catalyst. A leader is an organizer. A leader is an initiator. That's what God expects you to be to your home as the man. And ladies and gentlemen, in case you are here this morning, you said, I'm not married, this message does not apply to me. It does. Because if you're not married now, you'll be married later. Amen, somebody. And even if God has called you to celibacy, amen, somebody. You will lead in one capacity or the other. Amen, somebody. Everybody here is a leader in their respect. You're probably overseeing some things in your workplace, overseeing some things in your neighborhood, so what I'm talking about applies to you. Leadership principles are the same, whether it's in church or the secular world. So tap in and say, pay attention though. What did I say? A leader is what? A change. A leader shows up in a place and things begin to happen. Look at what happened. Deborah, Judges 4 verse 4. She led the nation of Israel, and you see changes, positive changes. You see the nation began to make progress. Moses led God's people. You saw how God used him to deliver the children of Israel from bondage. So that's what it means to be a leader as the husband. Say husband, somebody. Of the house. It's important for us to realize that. You know, for you to know that a leader is somebody who makes things happen. I don't know if I've ever read about Jephthah in the Bible. His story is in Judges 11. For you to know, his brothers chased him out of the house because he was not a legitimate son. But he didn't allow that to deter him. He went to a place called Tob. He developed his leadership ability. Listen, when the nation was in crisis, they sent for him. A leader is what? A leader knows how to make things happen. And ladies and gentlemen, that is part of what God expects of you as the husband or the head of the home. Can I have an amen in the house? What is leadership? Leadership is also leading by inspiration, your actions or examples. Or let me say it this way. Leadership is leading the way. Say leading the way. Leading the way by what? By your actions, inspiration, and example. A leader knows how to inspire confidence. Leaders are dealers in hope. Say dealers in hope. They know how to instill confidence. Give you hope. A reason to believe. A reason to expect. I think it was John Maxwell who said, a leader knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way. A leader does what? Knows the way, goes the way, and what? Shows the way. So it's important for us to realize that that is what leadership is all about. One definition of leadership that I love this one. Leadership is the ability to obtain followers. Hello, somebody in the house. What's leadership? The ability to do what? Obtain followers. So listen, if you say you are a leader and nobody is following your lead, you are not a leader. Are you in the house? Leadership is measured by what? Followership. Who is following your lead? Who is following your example? Is your wife and your children, are they being inspired? Where you say you are leading right now, who can follow your example? Who can follow your lead? If you understood what I said, say amen, somebody. I'm trying to remember something. I'm trying to find a quote here that I saw. I think it was said by Andrew Carnegie. He said, no man will make a great leader. No man will make a great leader who wants to do it all himself, or to get all the credit for doing it. You see, listen, no man can do it all by him. In fact, listen, as the head of you can't run the show. Amen, somebody.
The days of one man riot squad is over. Rambo only happens in films. Are you in the house this morning? So tapping up and say, that is not, I mean, that is Hollywood. Say it's not real. Oh. The real world, I mean, is different from what you see. Most of the things we see in movies are not, they're just for movies. Say for movies. That's why they call it entertainment, to entertain you. Amen, somebody. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor and say, are you a leader? Say, are you a leader? I don't know how many of us remember Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan was one time president of America. He said this about leadership. He said, the greatest leader is not necessarily the one who does the greatest things. The greatest leader is not necessarily the one who does the greatest things. He said, rather, he is the one that gets the people to do the greatest things. Listen, if you cannot walk through people, you are not a leader. Listen, I think I've told you this very funny story. A friend of mine told me of how his dad used to run their home. The dad was in charge of kitchen. Say kitchen. Kitchen affairs. Say kitchen affairs. For you to know how serious. The dad held the key to the store of their house. The store, you know, normally you expect the store to be in the kitchen. But they built the store in the living room. Say living room. And he held the key. Say held the key. Of course, you know, like they say, the teacher is wise. The students were also worse. After a while, they did some funny things. Say funny things. They duplicated the key, and when it would have measured out the measures. In those days in Lorraine, there's what we call perigee. Perigee is what they used to measure things. They call it Congo now. So this is the measure for the afternoon meal. Amen, somebody. Hello, somebody. Look at your neighbor and tap and say, you need to carry everybody along in your family. I mean, leader, if you cannot obtain results through other people, you are not a leader. Because the essence of leadership is that you know how to get results through people. If you understand, say, I hear you, sir. Let me run because I want to drop a lot of definitions. I'll give you two more before we go into the main menu. Number what now? Okay, some people are not here. Number what are we now? I will not go and follow him. Thank you, man. Some people are saying four. Some people are saying three. Amen, somebody. Top and never says number six. Oh. What's leadership? Leadership is the capacity to translate vision to reality. You see, anybody can dream. Anybody can have a vision. How the vision becomes a reality takes leadership. And in fact, that is one of the major tests of leadership. What you see with the eye of your spirit, how you can translate it to reality. What you see God taking your family to, or where you see God taking it to, the ability to communicate it and make it happen. Hello? Are you here this morning? If you say, I'm still here. Elbow your neighbor, say, are you still here? There's a woman by the name of Rosaline. Rosaline. Rosalyn. Rosaline Carter. Said, a leader takes people where they want to go. A leader does what? I can't hear you. A leader does what? Look at Moses. He took them to where? The promised land. Hello? Deborah led the nation in warfare from captivity from what? The enemies. Freedom. They wanted freedom. This woman said, a leader takes people where they want to go. She didn't stop there. She said, a great leader. Say, a great leader. A great leader takes people where they don't necessarily want to go, but ought to be. Hope you can see the difference. For you to know that even in leadership, there are what levels. I pray for you this morning that God will take your leadership to another level. That amen is not born again. Then finally, what is leadership? Because of time, leadership is influence. This is a definition given by John C. Maxwell. Leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. Do you know that every one of us here has a measure of influence? Some of us have greater influence, some of you have lesser influence, but there's nobody here who doesn't have influence. The truth of the matter is that the more you can develop your influence, the more you build your influence, the stronger your leadership. Have you not seen homes that the influence of the man is not stronger than the children? The influence of the man is not stronger than the wife? Amen, somebody? I've seen homes whereby anything goes. When the man says something, it doesn't carry weight. Hello, somebody in the house. That means his influence is weak. Amen. I said, amen. Can I have an amen in the house? And you know, one of the ways you can measure your influence is ask yourself this question. Whom do people follow? Hello, somebody. Whom do people follow? If you want to know how strong your influence is, whom do people follow? Or when you speak, who listens? I mean, when somebody speaks, who do people listen to? Ladies and gentlemen, it's our time to take our leadership to another level. And if you're here as a man, I'm praying for you, especially this morning, that God will raise your capacity for leadership in your home in the name of Jesus. I said God will raise your capacity for leadership in your home, your workplace, or wherever you serve in the name of Jesus. Leadership always makes the difference in whatever we do. Wherever you are right now, you need leadership. The stronger your leadership, the better your effectiveness. And I'm praying for you this morning. You agree with me that one of the greatest challenges we have as a nation is, I know we have other issues, but leadership is also, it still remains a big issue in this country. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor and say, God is counting on you to change the narrative. Tap your neighbor and say, God is counting on you to change the narrative. Can I have an amen in the house? So as the man of the house, how does God expect me to lead? How does God expect me to lead my home? If you are going to be successful in leading your home, this is how to lead. Number one, God expects you to lead by the wisdom of God. Tap it and say, lead by the wisdom of God. There are all kinds of wisdom. I don't have time to explain them this morning. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 6 and 7. And if you read James chapter 3 verse 15, it gives us four kinds of wisdom. Say four, somebody. How many kinds of wisdom? Shout it, say four. You have the wisdom of God. You have the wisdom of this world. You have the wisdom of man, what we call natural wisdom or human wisdom. Then you have diabolical wisdom. Ladies and gentlemen, there is nothing that compares with the wisdom. The wisdom of God is superior. The wisdom of God is the ever-ruling, ever-reigning wisdom. It will put you over in life. And hear me, every man who is married here this morning, you need the wisdom of God to lead your home. It takes wisdom. Tap it and say, it takes wisdom. For you to see the importance of wisdom, Proverbs 24, verse 3, it says, by wisdom a house is what? Built. By understanding it's established. Wisdom is such an indispensable quality. You know, what will make the difference between a good decision and a bad decision is wisdom. Why did Nabal, why did he make lots of foolish decisions? Hello, somebody in the house? Someone will say, well, he's leaving his name to his name. His name is foolishness. But beyond that, amen, somebody? You could see that he lacked the wisdom of God. You can read the story in 1 Samuel 25, the whole chapter. He was a man who was lacking in the wisdom of God. Ladies and gentlemen, wisdom is available. I said wisdom is available. The Bible defines wisdom as the correct application of knowledge. Proverbs 15 verse 2 says, a wise man. How do you know a wise man? It says, the tongue of the wise does what? Uses knowledge aright. That's why I tell people, the fact that you are knowledgeable does not mean you are wise. The ability to convert that knowledge into action is what we call wisdom.
And here this morning, I pray the Lord will open and the Lord will enlarge your fountain of wisdom in the name of Jesus. I said the Lord will enlarge your fountain and depth of wisdom in the name of Jesus. Wisdom also means the ability to know what to do in any given circumstance of life. That's what Daniel manifested. That's what Joseph manifested. Ladies and gentlemen, you see, dealing with family life, there will be issues that you need the wisdom of God. And I know and I pray for you today that the wisdom of God will be there to answer to every need in your life in the name of Jesus. God's wisdom will not fail you. God's wisdom will lead you. God's wisdom will guide you. Because there are decisions at times that you need to take. You need the wisdom of God. And I declare this morning that your fountain and your depth of wisdom is being enlarged in the name of Jesus. There are several ways by which you can lead by God's wisdom. I will just talk about two because of my time. How can you assess the wisdom of God? You can assess the wisdom of God. One way to assess God's wisdom is to allow the word of God guide and direct your steps. Psalm 119 verse 105. Thy word is what? A what? A lamp unto what? My feet, and a light to what? My path. Psalm 119 again verse 130. The entrance of your word, what does it do? It giveth light and giveth what? Understanding. You see, the word of God will shed light on every gray area of your life. As I'm speaking to you this morning, the word of God is shedding light, illumination on every dark areas. And you're receiving strength and wisdom this morning, and that will put you over in the name of Jesus. Sometimes say, I receive strength. Say like I say, I receive strength. Say, I receive wisdom. If you believe that, say a better amen. So, as the man of the house, you need to consult the word of God regularly. Make the word of God your companion. That's how you get the wisdom of God. Allow somebody. You know, at times, it's not that people don't know the word of God. They don't allow the word of God to guide them. It's one thing to know the truth. It's another thing to accept the truth. Tap your neighbor and say, have you accepted the truth? You know, at times some people know what they are doing is wrong. They still persist in doing it. I've seen people like that say, your ways. I say, I know. Why would you change? I want to, but look at your neighbor and say, cooperate with the will of God. How can you assess the wisdom of God? Don't only allow the word of God to guide you. One way you assess the wisdom of God again is to allow the Holy Spirit to guide you. Ask your neighbor, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? I said, ask your neighbor. Some people are not asking your neighbor. I said, ask your neighbor. Some people are not feeling. Ever your neighbor say, are you here this morning? If you're here, say amen, somebody. It's important for you to know that God has given you a blessed companion for life. Say, blessed companion. Oh, he knows everything. First John 2 verse 20. 1 John 2 verse 27. He knows. The Bible says you have received an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. The Holy Spirit will never. Listen, he says, Jesus said, I'm giving you a companion that will be with you for life. People don't consult the wisdom of God through the Holy Spirit. Romans 8 verse 14 says, as many as are led by what? The Spirit of God. They are what? The sons of God. Allow the Holy Spirit to give. Listen, the Holy Spirit knows more than you do. Head of the home, husband, he knows more than you do. Allow him to guide you. I pray for you this morning, the light of the Holy Spirit will shine your way in the name of Jesus. I remember an issue that happened. Was it 2017 or 2016? I think it's 2016 to be precise. Told my wife about this. I mean, someone that is like a father figure, like a mentor in my life, you know, sent for me, and I went there, and you know, the things I heard from him, I mean, they were so heavy, they were so, sounded untrue. I said, sir, I said, this thing is not correct. He said, no, it's correct. I said, sir, with all due respect, I've been married to my wife now for she will never do something. He said, no, so this person told me, I said, sir, listen, do you know that I left that place? Listen, the more I was trying to tell him, the more he persisted. We're there for more than 1 hour. The long and short one, as I was going back home and I was praying, I said, God, I now have to make a decision here. Him and somebody. I mean, because, you see, if I sided with what I had, that means I was voting against my marriage. Amen. And I said to him, I said, no, this thing, I know this thing is not true. I said, I'm going to go with my heart. Amen. Somebody. The more I prayed about it, the more the light of God, I mean, those people that has given me instances upon instances. And I decided then and then, I said, God, I'm going to hold your word. I know I respect I hold, but I know. Listen, anybody can be deceived. Hello, sir. If Jacob, was he Jacob? I mean Isaac rather, was deceived. Amen, somebody. Listen, the great prophet Samuel came into the house of who? The house of Jesse. He saw the first, said the Lord. God said, he's not the one. Look at your neighbor, I'll tap your neighbor. Say, every man is still subject to mistakes. But the word of God cannot fail. The Holy Spirit is a blessed comforter. Oh, thank God for listening to him. Thank God for following the word of God. The word of God will stand true. The Holy Spirit will come true for you. And you will not be put to shame in the name of Jesus. Truth will always triumph over falsehood. The Bible says you will know the truth. John 8:32. The truth shall what? Set you free. I pray for anyone here this morning. Whatever may be clouding your sense of judgment, the light of God's word, the light of the Holy Spirit is setting you free. In the name of Jesus. Someone say, Ephatha. I didn't hear you say, Ephatha. Ephatha means be open. I pray in the name of Jesus, your ear waves, your eye waves, be opened in the name of Jesus. Look at your neighbor and say, get wisdom. Tap your neighbor and say, lead by wisdom. Lead by the wisdom of God. That's how to lead your home. Number two, how do I lead my home successfully? Lead together with your wife. Two is what? Better than one. That's what the Bible says. Ecclesiastes 4 verse 9. I love a great man who once said, don't just use the brains that you have. Use all the brains you can borrow. Tapping number said, two heads are better than one. Listen, you have your own perspective, but your wife also has what? Her own perspective. By the way, if you are the head, who is the body? Your wife is the body. Amen is the body. The body needs the head. The head needs the body. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to say to all men in the house, carry your wife what? Along. Amen, somebody. Don't say, wait till she knows. You know, there's a way a woman sees things. Because of emotional capacity, men are bound to look at things logically. Say logically. But a woman can read in between the lines. Say, read between the lines. Say, gagunye, legri ni wo. Say, he's a legri. Glory be to you. I said, glory be to God. Pay attention. Tapir said, pay attention. Listen, I burnt my fingers several times because of what I'm telling you. Amen. Until I learned from experience. Amen, somebody. Hello, somebody in the house? Listen, there's a limit to what you know. And for your information, you don't know everything. Tell your brother, you don't know everything. Because at times, there's a way some of our men behave, as if to say they have all the answers. Somebody came to meet me and said, Pastor, I said, what's the solution? Are you not pastor? I said, the fact that I'm wearing pastor doesn't mean that. I said, I don't know everything. Because I put it to him, I said, give us ideas. He said, that's why I came. I said, hey, look at you. You don't want to be part of the solution. Please, let's carry our wives along. Don't lead in isolation. Or let me say this, stop leading in isolation. Stop being a solo leader. Solo leader. Say solo. And at times, some of these styles of leadership is because of insecurity. I've asked somebody who says, what does my wife know? What does she know? I said, your wife is not a dullard. Amen, somebody. She has brains. Amen, somebody. She has insight. Hello, somebody. Are you in the house this morning? Let's discuss issues. Let's rub minds together. Amen, somebody. You know, I was asking myself, when I look at the circumstances of surrounding the birth of Moses, you have to thank God for Abi Jochebed. That's the mother of who? Jochebed. Yeah, I think I'm right. Jochebed, yeah, I'm right. The mother of what? Moses. But people are looking at this, saying, waiting to be Jochebed. Well, read Exodus 2. Exodus chapter 2, from verse 1 to 10, you see the story. I mean, you know, they came together. They had a child under a regime that said that all male children should be killed. Listen, I believe she was the one that came up with that idea. Let's hide this baby. So how do you know? Because if you read the story, you didn't hear the man say anything. So he was quiet. Amen. So definitely he didn't say anything. That's what it means. Said, my honey, let's hide this baby. Okay. The first month, second month, stop and say, there's a little who can hide you. Oh my ears, I was in that bad. I reward my poor woman. Amen. So I said, well, what are we going to do now? I said, I have another plan. And she was one that came up with the idea. Well, let's go to River Nile. We know that the king's daughter comes after that. Let's make something like it. I mean, listen. That's a woman also being part of the leadership of our home. Do you know that your wife can either help you or destroy you? I don't know what I'm talking about. David will have been dead if not for Michal. Go and read the story, 1 Samuel 19, verse 11 to 19. You know, Saul, the father of Michal, wanted the head of David. He was just saying, oh boy, one bow, they are coming. She was the one that let him down through the window to escape. And she made a dummy of somebody like, look at a person on the bed. He said, ah, where is he? He's sleeping. So when the emissaries went back, he said, go and bring him. Maybe he's even sleeping. He's sick. When they opened the mattress, he said, ah! It was something else. He had put something there that looked like a person. Like putting a mattress together, and, you know, with the head and the leg and everything. They would have killed David, if not for Michal. Look at the neighbor and say, stop working in isolation. Leadership. Listen to this. Let your leadership be supportive. Let your leadership be cooperative in nature. Don't have this. Don't lead by autocracy. Say autocracy. Don't be autocratic. Say, but it's Saul. Don't let them hide under that one there. Amen, somebody. Like someone says, my word is final. If you see the way you say them, I'm final. And I said, I'm Alpha and Omega. And I said, really? Are you Alpha and Omega? Glory be to God. The Bible says we need to reason together. Amen, somebody. That's how to lead. Let me move because of time. I won't leave anyone. How does God expect us to lead if you're going to be successful in leading your home as the man? Lead by example. Do you know that nothing influences people more than your examples? Listen to this. Whatever you're telling your family, whatever you're telling your children, be the change, be the example that they're going to see. You can't be telling them to be prayerful and you're prayerless. Amen, somebody. You can't be telling them to, you know, to be punctual and you are late. Hello? You can't be telling them to be good and you are mean. Hello? Somebody say, be the change that you want to see in your home. It's important. This is how to lead. Listen. One of the best styles of leadership is leadership by example. The Bible even says in 1 Timothy 4 verse 12, be thou an example of what? The believers. Do you know that people don't do what you say, they do what you do? I don't know what I'm talking about. that your children, they will not do what you say, they will do what you do. That's why it's important. It's important to lay the right example. Tap your neighbor, say, walk your talk. Look, say walk your talk. I've told you several times that what people say, what people do, what people say they do, they're entirely different things. Listen, this is part of the demands of leadership. A leader must lead the way. Say, lead the way. Be the example. Example to your family in worship. Example to your family in conversation. Example to your family with love. Example to your family in faith. Example to your family in purity. Amen? I said, amen, oh! Ask your neighbor, say, are you the example? Let's be an example. You know, I tell people, anybody can preach. A parrot can even preach. I'm not talking about anybody can preach. There's nothing fantastic about preaching. Amen. It is the doing. Say, the doing. That's when we will know. That's why the Bible says, don't be a hearer of the word, but what? A doer of the word. And by the way, it's only the doers that will be blessed, not the hearers alone. Of course, there's a blessing for hearing, but there's a greater blessing for being a doer. That's what John 13 verse 17 means or says, and James 1 verse 22. Look at your neighbor and tap and say, lead the way by your examples. Don't just be a talker. One of the things one of the legacies you can leave with your children, one of the legacies you can leave on your home, your family, is that what you say, they see it in you. Model what you are saying. Amen, somebody? Glory be to God. I say, glory be to God. If you're telling them to be forgiving, you must have a large heart. Amen? Glory be to God. I say, glory be to God. I said, glory be to God. So tell your neighbor, say, walk your talk and talk your walk. Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1, he said, be ye followers of God as I'm also a follower of Jesus Christ. It's important for us to understand that the way God expects you to lead, if you're going to be successful in leading your own as the man of the house, you must lead by example. You must be the example of worship to your children. It's not that you tell your child or your mom to be going. Amen. So say, be going. Say, I will meet you. I will meet you there. That's not laying a good example. Amen, somebody. That's not laying a good example. You can't be telling them to fast and you are enjoying it powerfully. Hello, somebody. Like somebody was telling me, somewhere, saw somebody in a season of fasting. And the person was supposed to be a leader. Amen, somebody. And the person was demolished. Say, demolished. A bowl, a mountain. He said, bro, are you not supposed to? He said, actually, do you know that has weakened his leadership? Because you are saying it, like they say, you are mounting it. Say, mounting it. You're not leaving it. Listen, I know that the tax of leadership, I was telling somebody this, if you're going to be a leader, it's a tough call. A tough call. You know, at times when I look at my body, I there's a way my body wants to react. But because I know I'm a leader, I don't have any excuse. Amen, somebody. Tap your neighbor, say, lead by example. If you're going to succeed in leading roles, you must lead by examples. Let your children see the worthy example in you. You know, one of the things that influences a child is the kind of examples they see. It becomes a reference point to them. I pray for every married man here this morning. The Lord will enlarge and expand your capacity for leadership in the name of Jesus. Can I have a better amen in the house? If you're going to be successful in leading, it must be by example. Tabernacle is here by example. Number four, I'm trying to run because of time. How can I successfully lead my home? You can lead successfully when you lead in the fear of God. Say, lead in the fear of God.
Proverbs 9 verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 15 verse 33 says, the fear of the Lord teaches a man wisdom. Before honor is humility. We are living in a generation whereby the fear of God is not very common. Hello, somebody? When we talk about the fear of God, we are talking about the reverential regard and respect for the sanctity and the awe of Jehovah. Amen, somebody? Are you here this morning? Please, if you are a married man, if you are the head of the home, it's important for us to know that God wants us to run our family, to run our lead our homes in the fear of God. Say, fear of God. 2 Samuel 23, I think verse 2, it says, those who rule in the fears of men must be what? Just, ruling in the fear of God. How many people know that God is just and fair? He's a God of justice. He's a fair God. He's fair to all, even to those who are not deserving of his mercy. I want to ask you, as the head of your home, are you fair to all? You know, at times, it's possible to see partiality at work in the operation of the home. As the head of the home, don't be partial. Amen, somebody? Avoid favoritism. Amen, somebody? Avoid discrimination. Amen, somebody? Don't rule by divide and rule. Say divide and rule. Oh, glory be to God. The reason I'm laughing is that I remember some things. At times I shake my head. Amen, somebody. For you to know the level of insecurity. Say divide and rule, somebody. What's divide and rule? You go and meet somebody and say, this person is Jesus. Then you go back again to another person and say, that's diabolical. Amen, somebody. That's devilish. Amen, somebody. What are you trying to achieve? And listen, sadly, some of these things you see it in operation, even the body of Christ. Hello, somebody. Look at the neighbor, say, lead your home in the fear of God. I'll give you a biblical example. I don't know the story of Isaac and Rebecca. You see it in manifestation. The father's love was directed more to what? To Esau, and the mother too shifted the love to the other one. There was rivalry in the house. Hello, somebody in the house. There was what? Rivalry. Say rivalry, somebody. Look at your neighbor and tap your neighbor and say, don't operate by that kind of system. It's important for us to know that God wants us to be fair. Say fair and just. So at times we create hostility, unnecessary hostility. At times, someone can be mean and hostile. Amen? I said amen. God does not want us to become so hard and difficult to deal with or to approach. It's important for us to know that we must lead in the fear of the Lord. If we really have the fear of God in our lives, I can tell you that we will do the right things. We will live, you know, in a way and lead in a way that will bring glory to God. Look at your neighbor and say, lead in the fear of God. Let's lead our homes in the fear of God. I always tell people this. You need to fear God more than what? Man. Hello, somebody? Some of us, we are so afraid of man more than God. That's the wrong order. The fear of the Lord should reign. Amen, somebody? I said amen, somebody. If you have the fear of God, you'll be mindful of your actions. If you have the fear of God, you'll be mindful of tomorrow. Let me say this to you. Our actions has consequences. Not just on today, but tomorrow. That's why you need to weigh your actions. Say, weigh your actions. Before you decide on what you want to do as the head of the home, before you decide that this is the law, this is the thing I'm going to lay down. Is it fair? I remember years ago when
I don't know whether they still do it. They were part of the Rotary Club. Amen, somebody. That they do in secondary school. They brought it to secondary school. They called it Rotaract. It was Rotaract. That's the junior version of Rotary. Amen, somebody. And they were telling us the four cardinal rules. Amen, somebody. Four-way. Yeah, thank you, sir. You're a four-way test. One of the things that is it what? Is it the truth? Is it? Yeah, that's what it is. Fear to all. I mean, those things are biblical principles because God is God of justice. Amen. They that rule, look at it, over men must be what? Just. Ruling what? Let's lead our homes in the fear of God. The actions that you take today does not only impact on today, it impacts on tomorrow. So weigh your actions very well as the head of the home. Weigh your actions very well as the head of that unit. Amen, somebody. I said, amen, somebody. Are you still here this morning? I said, amen, somebody. I think I can say one more. How does God expect us to lead our homes? If we're going to be successful in leading our homes, God expects us to lead with a servant heart. Do you know that this is the way Christ modeled and displayed what real leadership is all about? If you read John 13 from verse 1 to verse 15, Jesus did something that was incredible. Jesus stooped down and started washing the feet of all of his disciples. He washed it and cleaned it with towel. That is one of the greatest sights of humility about the ministry of Jesus. He was trying to teach them something. Was trying to tell them about what service is all about. Hello? I said, hello, somebody. Matthew 20, verse 28. Mark 10, verse 45. Jesus said, even as the Son of Man did not come to be ministered unto, but to what? To minister and to give his life as what? As a ransom. Ladies and gentlemen, it takes humility to serve. It takes love to serve. It takes sacrifice to serve. And hear me. As the head of the home, God wants you to serve your family. Amen. At times, one can be selfish. If you are selfish, if you are self-centered, that's not how you are leading your home aright. If you are thinking about yourself first, instead of thinking about the welfare. That's what I counsel some of these. I've had issues of counseling young ladies at times who are in higher institutions, and they were trying to seek for a way of helping them with maybe paying school fees or paying, you know, accommodation or whatever. And when I said, what about your dad? If you see the look on the face, say, somebody, it's as if to say the man does not even exist. I said, why? Say, my dad is not responsible. Hey, my somebody, not responsible. How can you give up to a child like this? You're not even bothered about what happens to her. Amen, somebody. Do you know there are men like that? Hello, somebody. I remember very funny incidents. One of our Megad that was guiding the site in those days. Well, I was saying, Rema, he will go 3 or 4 months. He will return again. I said, where are you going? He said, I just married a wife. I'm going. So that you keep her warm and come back in it. And you know what I was not probably saying? What is that? Said, how many of you have? Said, I have 3. I said, 3? Ah, are you coping with this? He said, it's very easy. I said, what do you mean? I said, I want to know. I said, tell me, I want to know. Enlighten me. Amen, somebody. I need wisdom. Because I know even to take care of 3 children is not easy. Amen, somebody. You have 3 wives. We have produced like 3 or 4. Amen, somebody. That's like 10 or 12. He said, my own is just very little. I said, what's your own? And he said, well, it will provide your husband to live and I do what I can do to whatever, put some things there for food or whatever. What about the upkeep? He said, that's the responsibility of the wife. What about the children go to? He said, that's the responsibility of the wife. I said, you're more of somebody just, you're just going to service your wife. That's all you're doing. You're just producing children like rats. Amen, somebody. Amen, somebody. How many people know that the fact that somebody can impregnate somebody, that does not make you a father? You are a father biologically, but you are not a father in deed. There's a difference. Being a father biologically, we thank God for you.
A father indeed. That's where the blessing is. A father indeed. Who will not allow our children to be exposed. You know, there are many dangers out here. There are many hyenas. Say hyenas. Walking in a human body. Who are there to, they want to devour. So you're exposing your child to danger. When you don't live up to your responsibility. Or you play your part. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a very serious issue. At times, some people are more interested in the atomy than, you know, the welfare and the well-being of the home. You know, leadership is not easy. You have to deny yourself. One of my mentors was saying this, that it's not that she didn't want to do many good things that others were doing, but she was raising the children. They were in school. There were many sacrifices they were making. Amen, somebody. It is well. Amen, somebody. Some say, maybe you let's say, oh, money like one war. I saw Galode. At the peril, at the detriment of your child's, you know, I mean, upbringing. What kind of father are you? Amen, somebody. Amen, somebody. Are you the house this morning? We are very quiet. Stop here and say, are you still here? The sacrifices that needs to be made. Service. That's the key to greatness. There was a story that I had. Was it yesterday? My mom was bringing me the story. I was almost moved to tears. Moved to tears. But was it yesterday or Friday? It was early in the morning. Story about, okay, she posted something about my birthday on Facebook, and somebody looks like a daughter that I've known reposted it. Or did he repost it? I'm saying the right thing. Whatever, he meant about reposted it. Then somebody wrote something that I was almost moved to tears. I cannot even remember the person. He said, oh, happy birthday, blah, blah. Let me cut the long story short. Long and short, there was a time the person came to church, but he didn't even come to church. He was just passing by. He just saw example, just because that was, I didn't even go yet. He was broke, he was down, everything was bad. He came to the altar, he was confused, knew what to do. I came in, I think, probably, did I see him? I can't remember. I walked to the office, he said, that's the pastor. He went there, went to the secretary, he said, I said, you have an appointment? He said, I don't, you can't see. And of course, that's a normal thing. Then, I said, what's up? Oh, come. So I'm, oh, told the story. I am fed up. I'm disappointed. I'm this. I said, I'm very sorry. I don't have any money, but I think I gave the person the last 1,000 on me. And I said, okay, don't worry. Pray with him. Blah, 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 blah. Sorry. Was he coming to church? No, can't remember. Then maybe give me one or two contacts. It worked out. Things started booming. Became fine. And if I see the person, I can't even recognize the person. Amen. I was almost moved. I said, when did that happen? When did I do that one? I can't remember. If I see the person, I cannot recognize the person again. I'm sure. Now, okay, there was time. You know, I was signing my tithes then to whoever said, where is he now? I said, give me the account. I want to be sending my tithes to the church. I don't know the person. If I see, I'm sure. We went for a wedding yesterday. Where we were sitting down. Before the wedding started, I saw a young man came and busted a flat, say flat. I don't like that kind of thing personally because I feel he's a little bit embarrassed. I said, I think I know your face. How are you? A long time. Oh, I used to be in, you know, police several years ago. I was in the nursery team when Maxwell was there. I said, yes, I remember. I said, you don't know? I don't know. I can't remember, but your face looks familiar. You know, that's a good way to be very diplomatic. It looks familiar. Familiar, it's familiar. Not similar, but it's familiar. He said, have you forgotten? Forgotten what? He said, there was a time I could not pay my school fees. I came to, God used to give something from the church. He said, today, I'm a graduate, I'm working, so. He said, I'm back in the battle. He said, oh, that's good. Where are you? I told him, where? Listen, I'm trying to remember something. I think I have a quote here. There's a quote by the man known as Eric Adams. A teacher affects eternity. He can never tell where his influence stops. You know, that's one of the responsibilities of a father. A father is supposed to be a teacher, a mentor. He's a prophet too. He's a priest over his house. You see, our job, our task is a heavy one as the father of the husband. We need God's help to succeed in this venture. You can never tell the impact or how far your impact can go. That's where we must be willing to serve. Let's be willing to sacrifice. Let's be willing to deny ourselves. Amen. Be willing to serve. Serve your family. Serve your children. Amen. I hope you know what I mean by serving your children. Because I have to put that in context. I'm not saying just allow them to do whatever they want. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, you know, being willing to sacrifice. Amen. I said amen. I'm going to close with this funny story. Years ago, I went on a visitation. I saw this woman. She was pregnant then. So we're talking. I was asking about it. Well, the other one was not around. Went to us. She was telling me something. I could see the glow in her face. I want to thank God. Well, so one thing, whenever I'm in this stage of pregnancy, my wife, my husband takes over the kitchen. I said, what did you say there? It was like, I didn't hear what I said. I said, he doesn't want me to be stressed. I said, blessed are you. Glory be to Jesus. I said, blessed are you. You are very blessed to amen. So, I know not all men will be able to do that. Amen. I know some men are saying, yeah, yes, sir, Baba. That's it. Amen. Somebody. We are not saying that you take over the kitchen if you don't have grace in that area. Amen. But at least. Let's lead with compassion. Let's lead with some milk of human kindness. Amen, somebody. There are things that you can do that can relieve the pressure. There are things that you can do that can show that you care. I pray this morning that God is going to use what He has sown in our hearts to begin a revival in our homes. Can we rise up on our feet this morning? Lift up your two hands to heaven and say, Holy Spirit, help my capacity to lead. Lift up your voice and begin to pray. Whether you are a parent, you are a mother, you are a father, whatever you are, you are a teacher, whatever you do, all of us need a capacity to be taken to another dimension.